So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Luke 12:21. Hi, I'm Rob West. That passage comes from Jesus' challenging parable of the rich fool, which concludes with an invitation to be rich toward God. But what exactly does being rich toward God mean? Chad Clark joins us today to help us explore this challenging yet life-giving parable. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest today is Chad Clark. He's executive director here at FaithFi. And over the last several months, our team has been working on a brand new 4-week study on the parable of the rich fool. It's called Rich Toward God. Chad, great to have you back with us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
I'm looking forward to this conversation. Tell our listeners a bit about the Rich Toward God study and why we here at FaithFi decided to create it in the first place.
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob. As a ministry here at FaithFi, our mission is to equip Christians with tools and resources to integrate faith and financial decisions for the glory of God, with the ultimate vision that all Christians would come to see God as their ultimate treasure. And we really couldn't think of a better parable to start our brand new study series off with than the parable of the rich fool, which really asks us the question, what does it mean to be rich toward God?
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to read the passage from Luke 12, verses 13 to 21, and then I want to ask you to pull out some of the big themes that we unpack in this study. Let's dive into God's word. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now, Chad, in that passage, there are some incredible themes that we all need to explore. So why don't you pull out how the study unpacks those?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for doing that, Rob. I think when you jump into the Rich Toward God study, we first start by looking at the historical and the biblical context. We think it's incredibly important for you to understand the context in which this parable was delivered. We then jump into some of the themes that Jesus brings out of this parable. We start by looking at what is true abundance. We then transition into pride and prosperity. We see the rich fool and his pride, and so we dive a little bit deeper into what that looks like for ourselves personally. We then see that there's this uncertainty of tomorrow. So in week 3, we really look at this idea of planning, that we are called to plan, but we also don't know what the future holds. So this uncertainty of tomorrow is a powerful week to go through in the study. And then we conclude with this idea of what does it mean to be rich toward God, which Jesus invites us to at the end of this parable.
And then there's some specific steps folks can take to continue the journey as well, right?
Yeah, so we'll conclude the study with this continue the journey section that gives you some really practical next steps and ways that you can apply this study in your life.
I love it. All right, Chad, what are some practical ways people can use this study? How was it designed?
Yeah, it was designed for you to either use individually, so you can use this in your quiet time with the Lord. You can use it as a couple or as a family, or if you've got a small group at church, we encourage you to go through it as a small group as well.
All right. I know so many of you have a group. You're always looking for good biblical content that has application to your life. We think the Rich Toward God study could be exactly what you're looking for. All right, Chad, the only question that remains is, how do they get a copy?
Yeah, you can go to faithfi.com and click the shop button to order your copy of Rich Toward God.
Okay, that's faithfi.com and just click shop. And Chad, I think that as we think about our role as stewards and managing the King of Kings resources, wrestling with this question, what does it mean to live rich toward God, is probably at the top of the list.
I agree, and I look forward to having people go through this study and discover what that means for themselves.
That sounds great. Chad, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you.
That's Chad Clark. He's Executive Director here at FaithFi. If you want to check out this study and order your copy today for yourself, your family, or your small group, go to faithfi.com and click shop. That's faithfi.com and click shop. Back with your questions after this, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Today is known as World Down Syndrome Day, a day to celebrate some of the most precious people you could ever meet. If you have a family member or a friend with Down syndrome, you know how they can light up a room, so often filled with joy. What better day than today to reciprocate that joy to them and in thanks to the God who made them? In Psalm 139, we hear about the sacredness of human life. It's true for all people, regardless of ability. Listen to verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. So, as today is World Down Syndrome Day, reflect on this beautiful truth. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talked to Pastor Billy Crone about the largest secret fraternity in the world and to be found in some churches, Freemasonry. We will tell you why you cannot be a Christian and be a member and why it is a dangerous and unproductive experience. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, the lines are open. I'm ready for your calls and questions today. Let's talk managing God's money. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, during that break, you heard a mention of Heart for Lebanon. You know, for those of you who listen every day, we know, or you know, that we talk a lot about how money is a gift from God, that he gives that to us for our enjoyment and to provide for our needs. But it's also clear that God blesses us with resources to be used in his kingdom and to be his hands and feet in places that so desperately need help. Well, here at Faith and Finance, it's our joy to put a spotlight on ministries from time to time that need assistance, especially in a critical time. Also ministries you can trust. And on those where God is clearly at work. And the ministry we've had the spotlight on right now as we talk all about giving here on Faith and Finance is called Heart for Lebanon. You may not realize this, but right now Lebanon is a country in crisis. There are more refugees there than any place in the world, and 99% of every refugee has no idea where their next meal is coming from. But thankfully, Heart for Lebanon is there bringing food and emergency supplies to these hurting people in a moment of need. But more importantly, they develop relationships with those they serve and are using those opportunities to share the gospel. More Muslim-cultured people are coming to the relationship in Christ than at any time in our generation. And through our partnership with Heart for Lebanon today, you can be a part of that blessing. Here's the way it works. $116 will care for a family of six by bringing them food, survival essentials, and the gospel. We want to help as many of these families as we can, and so that's why we put a spotlight on Heart for Lebanon this month. So we'd love to just invite you into that. Perhaps you've had a heart and a burden for that part of the world, given what's going on between Hezbollah and Israel there just to the south in Gaza. And we would love to invite you to meet the needs of those refugees, but also help Heart for Lebanon bring the gospel to them at the same time. So would you consider your part in that when you go to faithfi.com/Lebanon? That's faithfi.com/Lebanon. Or you can call 888-201-5577. That's 888-201-5577. Thanks for considering that today. All right, folks, we're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000 is the number, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's begin today in Texas. Hi, Matthew. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I just have a question about the national debt being around $35 trillion. What happens? What are the possible scenarios for that debt as far as it being called in?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's more of a slow leak problem, Matthew, than I think anything that would precipitate any kind of crash. I mean, is it a problem? Absolutely. I mean, we're north of 125% of GDP. That historically, you know, is where you're starting to get problematic. We can weather that a little better than others just because the size and strength of our economy. But certainly we're in a zone we've never been before. And the problem, the big problem, is the trajectory, just the magnitude with which we're adding new debt because of the massive deficits we're running. So that's a big issue that we need to consider, because these principles we talk about on this program apply to nations in addition to individuals. And that is that, you know, if you spend beyond your means, you're going to run up debt, and that debt is problematic. There are clear warnings in Scripture around it. So we're certainly headed in the wrong direction there. And, you know, I think as we look at this, I mean, the implications of that are real, because we're about to be in a situation where our largest federal expenditure won't be defense any longer. It will simply be the interest on our national debt. And so what do we need to do about that? Well, we need to vote for leaders who understand that we need to live within our means. We need to vote for leaders who understand a biblical worldview of financial decision-making, that God made us to be productive in His image, that we're more mind than mouth, that humans, that God's creation, we're a blessing, not a curse, and that we were created to be workers. And that productive activity, taking God's creation and improving it and ordering it, is a virtuous cycle that creates economic expansion. And so we need to remove government regulation so we can work. We need to restore a proper view of work that I think we've gotten away from in this country. And we need to, you know, give back to the Lord that created us. And that virtuous cycle is what God intended. Now, with regard to the debt, what are, you know, the possible scenarios? Well, what's most likely to happen is something similar to what we saw happen in Europe in, you know, 2012 to 2015, which was a debt crisis, that wouldn't result in us losing automatically our reserve status, even the de facto reserve status. It wouldn't, I don't think, result in any kind of economic collapse. It's something we could weather. It would be a wake-up call of sorts. It would result in, you know, the Federal Reserve stepping in to create liquidity. It would result in probably higher inflation, which is already a problem, and so that's concerning. And it would result in some pretty serious conversation about strict budgetary constraints. The problem is, you know, we're not in a recession right now, although we could have one later this year. But the fact that even during these years of growth in our economy, we've been adding huge amounts to our national debt. So you can imagine what would happen in a time of recession. And so it's going to require that we have some folks that would get serious about it. It would result in a slower growth environment. It would result in high inflation. It would result in us losing a little bit of our standing on the world stage with regard to how trusted we are. But what we would have going for us, we do today and we would then as well, is the fact that, you know, there's really not any other viable alternatives in the rearview mirror. I mean, you've never had a world reserve currency by an authoritarian dictator. You know, you've got to be able to be trusted on the global stage. And that's not the case with China. That's not the case with Russia. Europe, you know, has had its own problems. Japan has big problems with regard to, you know, their own growth. India is probably the next big one on the world stage. But, you know, they've got some challenges as well, just in terms of you know, having open a currency that can be used globally for transactions. So, you know, I think we could weather that, but it wouldn't be good. And we've got to get a handle on this. And we need more elected leaders talking about strict budgetary constraints, living within our means, making some hard decisions in order to right-size this. But I don't think we're headed for kind of a cliff that a lot of folks are talking about with regard to some sort of economic collapse. There would be real implications, but you know, we could make our way through it. Does that all make sense, though?
Yes, sir. I appreciate what you do and your answers. I just know that the interest alone, I think, is $1 trillion every 100 days. So I might have that figure wrong, but you know, it just got me thinking about, you know, what if somebody calls in the debt like they do with any individual person? You know, can China just step in and say, hey, you owe us all this money, so we're just taking over, you know?
Yeah. And they would have more to lose almost than we would, because if they demanded repayment, you know, that would hurt their economy as well. They rely on the U.S. So it would be counterproductive, which is why it would basically be impossible to call in all of its U.S. debt. Appreciate the question today, sir. We'll be right back.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Real-life heroes don't look like the ones in the movies. Mark Nichols doesn't wear a cape. He's a business owner in a small Arkansas town who took a stand when his local library opened their children's section to the radical LGBTQ agenda. When you give today to AFA Action, you're helping to protect the innocence of children. We'll also give you a free copy of Mark's story. It's the latest DVD in our Impact series. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got lines open today. We're ready for your questions on any financial topic, living, giving, owing, or growing God's money. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We'll probably be full with questions here in just a bit, so this is a great time to get through, get your question answered. Again, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. A couple of thoughts related to mortgages and real estate today that have been in the news as of late. First, Fannie Mae is revising its mortgage rate forecast upwards, now expecting higher rates for a longer period. That's in part due to the fact that for the fifth time just this week, the Federal Reserve has met and left interest rates where they are, not seeing any kind of reduction. The average rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is forecasted to hit 6.4% by the end of this year. That's up 0.5% from earlier predictions, although lower than where we are today. Now, rates are anticipated to remain, and this is unfortunate news, above 6% for the next 2 years, possibly stabilizing at 6% by the fourth quarter of 2025. And again, I know that's higher than most folks were hoping for. Current trends show the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at about 6.75% today, with a recent history of fluctuating rates. Economists, including Freddie Mac's chief economist, suggest that mortgage rates will likely stay higher for an extended period. Now, the housing market faces ongoing challenges due to high home prices. As you may or may not know, the average price in the U.S. now $400,000. And that's on top of these elevated interest rates. Higher than expected inflation and strong payroll numbers are expected to push mortgage rates higher. Fannie Mae is expecting an increase in market transactions in 2024 compared to last year, despite these high rates. They've lowered, though, its total home sales forecast to just under 5 million homes for 2024, at 4.91, down from 5 million, and to 5.4 million for 2025. So we're still seeing some challenges in the housing market, no doubt. And ultimately, that means challenges for you, I realize, especially because so many people have tried to hold off from certainly refinancing, but also buying and selling. They're waiting for these interest rates to come down. If, in fact, they're going to stay higher for longer, that's obviously going to create challenges as well. Now, we've had some major changes announced in the real estate space, particularly related to real estate commissions on property sales. I'll weigh in on that in just a moment. Obviously, a lot of folks talking about that. But let's head back to the phones, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Michigan. Hi, Mike. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I had a question about the U.S. debt repayment and the overwhelming interest that we have. Why couldn't the United States Treasury instead of using a Federal Reserve currency, why couldn't the United States Treasury just pay off the interest that's out there, and then we would be free from it?
Yeah, that would just require that we'd print a lot more money, which would massively expand the balance sheet, which would result in high inflation because you'd have too much money chasing too few goods. And so that would drive prices up, which would be just a major problem. And we've already seen a hint of that this year with 9% inflation. You're experiencing that every day when you go to the grocery store and you're paying, you know, 20 to 25% more than you were a couple of years ago. We're seeing that in insurance premiums. We're seeing it in car prices. I mean, things are up across the board. And so if we were to essentially devalue our currency by massively expanding our balance sheet, essentially putting more money into circulation to pay off the debt, then that would result in high inflation. And so that's why there's fiscal policy, monetary policy that controls all of that. The big answer to all of this is twofold. It's budgetary constraints, meaning living within our means, actually spending a whole lot less at the federal level so that we can, you know, live within the resources that we have as a nation and not run these massive deficits. And then alongside that, pro-growth policies, removing regulations, keeping taxes low, getting out of the way of the small business owner, and, you know, getting back to just the ingenuity and the opportunity of the American worker. And if we return to a kind of a work ethic that I think we see in God's word, God is the ultimate worker. We were created in His image. We were created to be productive. Those two things, the work ethic, having babies, procreation, being fruitful and multiplying, as the Bible said, and alongside that, pro-growth policies, with the freedom to grow businesses in this country without the government stepping in and taxation and regulation that can squelch that, on top of, you know, a commitment, an absolute commitment to living within our means as a nation. Those are the keys to getting out from this, not, you know, printing more money that would be massively inflationary and lead to lower growth. So that's unfortunately, there's not a quick fix to this. It's going to take some hard decisions. We can do it. Question is, are we going to elect leaders that will be willing to make those hard decisions? Mike, appreciate your question, though, sir. Appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000. We've got lines open today and looking forward to hearing from you. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Hank. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. I appreciate the program. And my question was, I got into an annuity. I don't know if it's a variable or what. It was supposed to be kind of like life insurance, but it also had income protection on that.
Okay.
And the investment hasn't grown a bit in 8-9 years, but that income protection plan has grown 8% every year.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. It sure does. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about that. This is an income annuity, and we can talk about what that means and how that works. I've got to take a quick break, though, Hank. You stay right there, and just on the other side, we'll come back to you and see if we can help you think through this. Folks, we've got lines open today, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000. Call now.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got lines open today. We'd love to take your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Hey, by the way, we started today with Chad Clark by talking about our brand new study, Rich Toward God. It dives into the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12, where Jesus is asked a question by someone following him about helping to settle a dispute around an inheritance. Well, the questioner wanted him to advocate for his position with regard to the inheritance, the monetary payout. Jesus flipped the script, as he often does, by telling this parable of the rich fool and really talking about the heart condition and where ultimately our treasure is found, not in the things of this world, but ultimately in God. And he finishes with this really powerful statement about being rich toward God. Well, in this four-week study, among other topics, we tackle what that really means, diving into Scripture, the historical context, really unpacking this powerful parable in Luke 12 to help you deal with some important questions around true abundance and the uncertainty of tomorrow, living rich toward God. We'd love for you to check it out. It might be perfect for your small group at church. Just go to faithfi.com and click shop at the top of the page. Now, before the break, we were talking to Hank in Indiana. He's got an annuity. He put $13,000 in. The investment isn't growing. He's seeing that the income protection portion is growing by 8% a year. He's wondering if he should get out. And Hank, when you look at annuities, and they have a whole host of names based on the benefits and the issuing companies, but at their core, they're best understood by their timeline. They're either immediate or deferred, and then whether or not they include market exposure. So they're either fixed or variable. So an immediate annuity lets you immediately turn a lump sum of money into a guaranteed stream of income. That's not what you have, because you put the money in, you're not drawing the income yet. So you have a deferred income annuity, which is usually where you make a lump sum payment or a series of payments, and your money grows until you're ready to start receiving the income. Within the deferred category, there's either fixed annuities that grow at a guaranteed rate for a period of time, or a variable variable deferred annuity, which are those where the investments are in underlying portfolios of mutual funds, and they offer you a portion of the upside and they limit the downside. So you've got this deferred income annuity, and what you're saying is the cash portion that you can withdraw isn't growing, but what they're calling the income protection plan is growing by 8% a year, which just means that once you convert that to an income stream, the longer you leave that money there, the more income you're going to get on a monthly basis throughout the rest of your life, or your life plus a spouse. And so that portion's growing. You're not able to withdraw that out, but it is going to increase what's ultimately paid out to you in the form of an income stream, which is usually the ultimate goal of someone who's bought an annuity. Does that make sense?
It does. What would happen if I died? Would the beneficiary get the income, or would they just get the investment?
Yeah. So are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So with some, I mean, it depends on whether you have the payments going or not. You know, generally the payments end with the death of the annuity's owner, called the annuitants. Others, you know, provide for the payments to be made to a spouse or other beneficiary for years afterwards. And so all of that is spelled out in the contract when it's drawn up. And so you would need to look at that just to understand whether you can choose, you know, one or more individuals or charities as beneficiaries for the policy for anything that's remaining in the cash value of the policy. But, you know, typically it goes away either at the end of your life or your life plus your spouse.
Okay. So, but the spouse would get the, like, I've got like 26,000 income in there. So she would get that 26, not the 13.
Yeah, that would typically be the case, that you would name that beneficiary, and your beneficiary would, in this case, your spouse, get payments up to the amount you initially paid for the annuity, and or a portion of what had accumulated in the cash portion of this account, for sure. But again, they're not all created equal. There's a lot of fine print there. And so I think this is a great question for you to ask the company that sold you the annuity.
Right. And then and so the scenario is that I can put more money in there then, right? Anytime?
Yes. You should be able to continue to contribute to it over time. You know, remember, there's, you know, the lump sum of money going in, or you can put it over, you know, a scheduled payments going in as well. And usually as you continue to add to it, obviously that's going to increase what would be available to you down the road.
Okay. One more question and I'll let you go, Rob. I appreciate
it. Sure.
Okay. So since I figured that I'm getting 8% from that income protection every year, it sounds like I'm in a fixed annuity, yeah. Right?
It does sound like that. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
You're welcome, Hank. Thanks for being on the program. Call anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with your financial questions today as we mine the scriptures and help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You know, I mentioned a moment ago that there's been some news out as of late, specifically related to the real estate market, having to do with the way commissions are paid out. You've probably seen something on this topic, just as you've been looking at the news as of late. And it's coming out of the National Association of Realtors. We're seeing this this news coming out. A lot of folks just wondering what it means. Well, here's kind of the bottom line. They're dropping their requirement for their 6% commissions on property sales. So the backstory here is that for nearly a century, the National Association of Realtors has mandated that listing brokers split that 6% commission with buyers brokers. They were sued, though, the National Association of Realtors, in federal court, on the grounds that that mandated 6% commission amounted to collusion that artificially raised real estate prices, and a jury awarded about a $2 billion-dollar judgment, billion dollars. And as a part of that settlement, the NAR agreed to drop the commission requirement. And so home buyers and sellers will now have to agree on commissions in writing with their agents. I would say it's probably they're making a little bit bigger deal out of it in the headlines than in reality, because in reality that commission has always been subject to negotiation. Now, one of the big changes is that under that longstanding system, homeowners listing their property were generally liable for both the seller and buyer commissions. So they would sign a contract specifying the percentage of the commission split. Traditionally, each party would take 3%. Well, this is a move toward new standards, which gives all parties more transparency and negotiating power, which could eventually lead to lower transaction fees, and it brings us more in line with the rest of the world. In the rest of the world, a commission to sell a property is usually around, on average, 2-3% in total, not the nearly 6%, about 5.5% that, we've had here in the U.S. So I wouldn't expect home prices to drop. And let me just say very clearly, I sincerely value the role of the real estate professional in this process. They play an enormous role in contracts and negotiations and protecting you during showings, and they deserve to be paid for that. But I think this, just as a part of fees coming down across the board in a whole host of industries, is going to result in lower fees for realtors. We'll be right back.
When we talk about politics, we tend to, as Christians, kind of set aside our faith and say, well, in the political arena, I identify more as a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative versus a liberal. The biblical worldview genuinely is the foundation and the basis for everything that we do, including our involvement in and analyzing civil government.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In our last segment today, we're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Just one final word on what I was sharing a moment ago. The National Association of Realtors is denying any wrongdoing. They essentially say they settled to avoid harming their members and their businesses, and all of this awaits approval from a federal judge. But I think the bottom line is, although we're going to see changes, we've seen fee compression in other areas of the economy, certainly in the financial space with fees coming down for advisors and with investment products. I think we're going to see some fee compression in the real estate professional space. But again, I sincerely value the role of the realtor. You know, for most of us, this is the largest transaction that we will have, buying and selling a home. You know, having someone who can walk alongside us, contracts, negotiations, you know, you're inviting strangers into your home, somebody to be there as a part of that process, somebody to make sure that inspections are completed properly. I mean, there is a lot that goes into this, not to mention the marketing of your property and even locating that property for you to buy if you are a buyer. But I think the net result of this is more transparency, a little bit more negotiation, and probably overall just fees that are on the average lower than what we're seeing today. So we'll certainly watch this all play out, but wanted to bring you up to speed because you're no doubt seeing some of the information out there about this ruling and wondering what it means for home prices. All right, we're going to head back to the phones here. We've got lines open. I've got room for perhaps two more questions today in this segment, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to Texas. Bob, go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I appreciate your help. I'm a retired person from the government.
Yes.
And I retired on a disability retirement in 1996. Okay. 18 years ago, I came to the cutoff date of my taxes being withheld from my retirement, and they and IRS has continued to keep my withholding taxes amount accumulated. Right now, it appears to me that it's $24,930, and I can't get them or IRS or the Office of Personnel Management to help me with getting this money returned to me. And it says in the Office of Personnel Management website that I can get it from them, but they're not helpful in any way. They just refuse to. And then to compound this problem, I had a stroke in 2021, and so I'm struggling with some cognitive abilities, but yes. I'm taking notes. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bob, and I'm so sorry to hear about that. Certainly, we ask our community to be praying for you and in what you're dealing with. Let me ask you: were these Social Security disability benefits, or what is it that you were receiving?
Office of Personnel Management, a disability retirement. Because of a serious on-the-job injury, and since 1996, I have been getting probably in the neighborhood of, it started out like $1,200 a month, and now it's up to like $2,000 a month, and it did include, you know, some for my medical insurance and stuff like that, which was helpful, but now I'm looking at all my W-2s or 1099-Rs and whatever, and it shows that they're still consistently taking withholding, let's say for this year, 2023, $1,384 every year. And they've done this for, you know, for a very long time. And at the age of 54, I was supposed to begin to get tax-free from that retirement. And now I'm 72.
Yeah. Well, and you've obviously been filing returns all along the way. And I mean, that should highlight the overpayment if you didn't owe the taxes and then you could get it back as a refund. Has that been happening?
No, they never give me refunds. They'll give me like a token. It's like, oh, here's $58. I have one check here that probably the most recent, and it's $16.
Yeah, but what is the, I mean, if you're filing tax returns every year and you're showing the total amount that was withheld and paid to the IRS versus what your actual tax liability is, I suspect there's a lot more being withheld than you actually owe. And so that refund is very clear on the return and then would be, you know, coming back to you unless the IRS challenges it. Have you been filing returns every year along the way?
Right. I've missed because of the stroke. I haven't filed for 2022 or 2023. I've been very, very, very confused for that amount of time. And now I'm just basically getting my cognitive abilities in order.
Yeah, well, I can certainly understand that. The good news is, Bob, you're still absolutely entitled to those refunds if you go ahead and file, and I can understand why during that season you were unable to do that. And so I think seeking some professional help would be really essential, somebody who can represent you, review your case, make sure you get in compliance by preparing the returns for those years you haven't filed, and then using that as a mechanism to get back anything that, is owed to you because of excess withholding for taxes that you don't owe. So I think that's perhaps your next step. And then obviously that person could advise you on the best way to hopefully get that adjustment taken care of moving forward so that we can rectify this in future years and you don't have to wait to file to get it back, but you can actually increase the amount of income coming your way every month, which obviously is what you need to be able to put that into your budget. Do you have a CPA, Bob, that you've used in the past?
No, I'm looking for maybe something in your circle of people would be helpful to this, because each CPA that I talk to, they go like, wow, I don't know what, you know, and I'm sitting there going like, okay, they're the wrong person. So if you know someone, let me know.
Here's what I would do is I would reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas and just ask for a referral to a godly CPA. They will all have at least one, if not multiple CPAs that they work with and that they actively refer to for their clients that need that kind of assistance. And that's the best kind of referral because, you know, they're going to know whether this person is somebody who can be trusted and that, you know, if they're going to make referrals from their clients to a CPA, it's, you know, most certainly going to be somebody that will be very good at what they do and probably serve you really well. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a part of their referral network. So I would just go to our website, if you're comfortable doing that, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional and then search for a CKA there in Texas using your zip code. And then just reach out, say, listen, I listened to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Rob said to call you and you could get me connected with a godly CPA. I think that would be the next step, Bob, because you need somebody to walk alongside you, to look at all of your documentation, to get your filing up to date from those years you didn't, help you get those refunds, and then correct the situation moving forward. And having somebody to do that with you, especially just given the uncertainties you have and even some of the fallout of the stroke, I think, you know, would be certainly worthwhile. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'll do that.
Okay, Bob. And check back with us if we can help in any way or there's anything along the way that's confusing to you. And we appreciate you being on the program, sir. May the Lord bless you. Well, folks, we're getting near the end of the program today. You know, as I think about just the importance of managing money God's way, it's important that we go back to God's word all the time and really just consider what the Lord has for us as we think about the opportunity we have to manage God's money. And it really starts with this idea that God owns it all, that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Therefore, we're stewards. But then we have to move into the day-to-day practices of managing God's money. And that a great place to start is with cash flow and living expenses. I mean, the bedrock to our money management is spending less than we earn. Reducing living expenses is often the quickest way to do that. And we need to find contentment in that and live within God's provision. The Apostle Paul was very clear when he said, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. And then right beyond that is making sure we avoid the use of debt, recognizing the rich rule over the poor, the borrower is slave of the lender. And so borrowing always presumes upon the future, which is why we should only do it when there's no better alternative, with spousal unity and where the economic return is greater than the economic cost. And then we move right from there into growing God's money appropriately and saving for the future, training our kids, working diligently. And I think when we put those practices in place alongside giving generously, which calibrates our hearts to the Father's, at least we put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. It doesn't mean we'll be free from trouble. I mean, we live in a fallen world. We will have trials and tribulations despite our efforts, but we've done our part. And then ultimately we trust God for the rest. He is our provider, not the U.S. government, not your employer, no one else. Here's my hope and prayer for you, that you would be able to lean into that. See God as your ultimate treasure, manage money according to God's wisdom in the Bible, and give generously to those in need around you. Hey, I'm so thankful you joined us today. We covered a lot of ground today, but let me also say thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. Taylor Standridge today, providing great research. Devin Patrick, our producer today, and handling our phones, Mr. Robert Youngblood. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Come back and join us then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.